We are in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and I'm actually probably going to go to another book for starting our Bible study next Sunday instead of the reason for that is that 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus are all like pastoral epistles. And they're all in getting, the apostles are turning it over to the pastors, the overseers of the church. And they, you got to realize, they haven't been through a seminary. There's no Bible colleges. So the apostles are training the pastors in how to do several things. As we've studied through 1 Timothy, we've seen, first of all, we've seen that they were warned, that Paul warns Timothy of false teaching, of things that, and he warns him of different problems that are going on in the church there in 1 Timothy. Problem with women trying to usurp authority over men in the church. Problems with those that were not teaching sound doctrine. Problems that would cause dissension within the church. And so he addresses those things. And then he addresses what he is to do about it. And in doing so, he's giving him qualifications for the leadership that needs to be at place in this church at Ephesus. And so he goes into detail in the previous chapters, in chapter 3, he goes into detail in what pastor overseer needs to be, how he can only use these men that are qualified. They're the only ones that's supposed to be ordained as a pastor to lead the church. Then he goes into detail of the deacons, the other office of leadership within the church, and he goes in great detail about that and how that is to be done before they would ordain anyone into leadership within the church. And so this is a theme that we find through there as we've looked in 1 Peter. And then when we got to chapter 4 of 1 Peter, he is telling him not only will there be false teaching, but he says there will be some that will abandon the faith. And when he talks about abandoning the faith, he's talking about there'll be some that declare belief and hold to the doctrines of Scripture, but they won't last because they had a head knowledge, but they never had heart knowledge. They knew what it said, but it ever had a change of heart through Jesus Christ. And so he's explaining all this as you go through 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy carries on the same type of directions and instructions, and then Titus does the same thing. They're so concerned, and this is something that we here at Waldo are not something we have to deal with. Because we've dealt with it for years, it's never become a problem. We make sure that anybody that teaches or anybody that in a position of leadership within the church agrees with our doctrine, agrees with the teaching of Scripture. Not only do we do that, but every leader, every teacher, nursery worker, or whatever within the church, we run a background check on them. And one thing you'll find throughout 1st and 2nd Peter, Timothy, as you go through it, is what one thing he's really stressing is that they have to be someone of strong character. They have to be someone of strong character. When we talk about somebody being of strong character, we read up here in chapter 4 that they should be, or chapter 3, that they should be blameless, not readily accused of any habitual sin. There's nothing in their life that would reflect on the church. There's nothing in their life that would reflect on people coming to Christ. And so he's talking about not only how sound are they doctrinally, but how do they live out their lives before other people. And that's character. That's character. And this is something he's stressing here in 1 and 2 Peter, and then in the book of Titus as well, as we look at that. And so he's talking to Timothy about the responsibility of being a pastor, an overseer, whether you want to call them pastor, overseer, bishop, or elder, all the same office within the church that you might want to see and expect to see and have to see in someone that is leading that congregation. Now today we're going to be in verse 10, and let's begin in verse 9 and read down through 11. Verse chapter 4, verse 9, down through 11. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Now, if you remember, he said that earlier in 1 Timothy as well. And anytime he says that, he is stressing the point of the importance of it. It's like if you were teaching your son or daughter, and you said, now, if you don't remember anything else I said, you remember this. And so he is stressing how important that it is, what he's getting ready to say here. That deserves full acceptance. And for this, we notice what he says. We labor and strive that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially to those who believe. Command and teach these things. All right, so he's saying command and teach these things. Well, what's he talking about? Everything that he's already said. And if you want to go back to chapter 3, and beginning in the 14th verse, and down through this scripture here, I want to share that with you. Chapter 3 in 1 Timothy, beginning in the 14th verse, he says, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing you these instructions. These instructions. That's what it's all about. So that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church. So he's saying, I'm writing these before I get there, so if I'm delayed, you can know what you need to do to take care of the problems in the church at Ephesus and how to go on from there. He's sending him these instructions. How people are to conduct themselves in God's household, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And then he says something that is tremendously important, because this is the heart of everything within the church. I've always said a church can change its methods, but can never change its message. Its message must be constant, begin the doctrine and the Word of God. And he says in verse 16, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. What? That God has come down and invaded time and space and lived among us, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, resurrected from the dead, risen from the dead, and sat at the right hand of the Father. That is the center, and that is the main emphasis of everything else that we believe in doctrine, in Scripture, in the Word of God, and that is the number one message that the church has to carry on and carry through in the household of God. And what is that? He appeared in a body. Well, that's what it's talking about. When Christ came in the flesh, in the body, He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit. Vindicated by the Spirit in His resurrection, was seen by angels, was given testimony to and seen by angels, was preached among the nations, by the apostles, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. This sums up the coming, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ to the right hand of the Father. And everything that we preach and teach is based on that. That is the center. If you ever hear someone say, the Bible is Christocentric, that is, everything from Genesis to Revelation points to Christ. It is Christocentric. And so, as we see these instructions that He's giving here, He's saying, this is your message. This is the heart of your message in everything that you teach. Now, what I want to do this morning is go through the qualities of an excellent pastor or minister. And I want to, if I can, I want to go through them quickly because I haven't got much time this morning. And I want to go through it quickly, and I can't even get two pages apart. So, what are we looking for? What are you looking for the person or the persons, as it is at Waldo, the elders that are God has put in place to lead this church? What are you looking for, and what is God looking for that He can say, these are excellent pastor overseers that are in place at Waldo Baptist Church or any church of the living God for that reason? Number one, we see that he must be a minister that warns people of error. He must be a minister that warns people of error. And so that's, I'm not going to go back through all the scriptures, because if I do, I'm not going to have time to get through this. And I want to get through it this morning because I want to do something else starting next Sunday. Well, I can do that. I'm the one teaching the class. All right. Now, number one, he must warn the people of unsound or false doctrine. They must be warned. Then they must be know the real from that which is false. Secondly, and this goes right along with the first one. Secondly, he must be an expert student of Scripture, being nourished up in the words of faith, which is the Scripture itself. That they are skilled in sharing and giving the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And so, it really doesn't matter what my opinion is. It really doesn't matter what my thoughts are. What really matters is, thus saith the Lord. And so, that's the second thing. The third thing, an excellent minister avoids the influence of unholy teaching. An excellent minister avoids the influence of unholy teaching. In other words, he is not distracted by the things in the world that would take him away from preaching the word and the truth to the people of God and sharing the doctrine of salvation to those that are lost. He would not be distracted by what's going on in the world, and they didn't even have social media then. No Facebook, no whatever you call these chat GP, whatever all this mess is. Lord, I imagine when I get to heaven, God's not going to say, "Well, did you have the right app?" I don't think that's going to make any difference. And so we excellent minister is going to be centered on that which God has called him for and that which God has called him to. And that is the Word of God shared with the people of God. Because that's the only thing that can change anybody's life and will change people's life continually. And so that's the third thing that we see. We are to teach and exhort by the words of God. And I like this scripture out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And so the minister is to think on what he knows to be absolutely true, what he knows to be absolutely righteous, what he knows to be absolutely just. And that is based upon the Word of God, not upon some philosopher or somebody's thoughts or ideas. And so that's really important. That's really important. Fourthly, an excellent minister of the church must be disciplined in personal godliness. Must be disciplined in personal godliness. And his life should be a pursuit of that godliness. His life should be a pursuit of that godliness. In other words, let's just put it in plain language. When you see him, you ought to see Christ. You ought to see Christ in him. And you ought to be able to recognize that is not only what you see, but that is how he lives. That is evident in his life. These are all qualifications of someone that you would want, that God would want, to lead the church of the Lord Jesus Christ itself. The fifth quality is this. It ain't easy, brother and sister. That's why he says strive and work. And when he says that here in the scripture, he says, the word strive means that you labor to the point of exhaustion. You labor to the point of exhaustion, that you give your life to service. It's not easy. It is very difficult. And if someone tells you it's not difficult, then they're not doing what they're supposed to. Because God never said it would be easy. He said it would be glorious, but he never said it'd be easy. And so it is something that you have to dedicate your life to. It is something that you have to discipline your life to, in that you labor and strive for the calling that God has given you in Christ Jesus. And it will be difficult. We have so blessed in this church to have the elders and the deacons that we have in this church. And you can't take that for granted. You can't take that for granted, because there are many other churches you could go to where there are continuous problems because the elders and the deacons aren't serving as they should and aren't living in front of the people as God has called them to. And we see that all the time. We see people that are in leadership in the church that fall from their position because they have not dedicated their lives to following Jesus Christ. It's like Paul said, you follow me because I'm following him. You follow me because I'm following Christ. And so that's really all I've got to say about the rest of 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus on that. And I'm going to start a whole new study next Sunday. And the reason I don't want to go on through this is it's so repetitious. But it had to be at that time for what they were trying to achieve in the church. And because of that. And so it is very much needed. The church needs to know that. They need to know what they ought to be looking for in the leadership of the church. They ought to have a clear understanding of that. And because that is tremendously important. But I'm not going to go on giving it to you over and over and over again, because I think you got it. But we will start a new study next Sunday. And you can ask me if you want to what it is, but I won't tell you because I haven't decided yet. So you can ask, but I do not see any usefulness in going on the same thing over and over and over and over again, because I think we clearly understand what the Scripture says are the qualifications for the leadership in a New Testament church. And so we won't continue to go over and over that again. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, thanking you for this day that we can gather in the Lord's house. Thanking you for the grace that saves us and keeps us, for the Word of God that teaches us, the Word of God that trains us, the Word of God that gives us hope and gives us joy in our life because of who Jesus is. We thank you for so great a salvation. Lord, I pray you will bless Brother Nate in the service to follow. I pray if there's anyone here today that's lost, that the Spirit of God might draw them to Christ, might draw them out of darkness into light, and might bring them to a true repentance and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Brother Nate as he preaches, Brother Aaron as he leads the worship. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. By the way, if you don't know yet,